Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the earnings presentation for the second quarter from CIE Automotive. We have Sumi Herrera, CEO, and Stefan Dunn, Director for Corporate Development. At the end of the presentation, we will have a Q&A. I'd like to remind you that it will only be possible to put writings in question through the webcast. And now I'll hand over to Mr. Aditya Thawal. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the earnings presentation for the second quarter. The headline of this quarter is, without a doubt, the continuation of the excellent results reported in the first quarter by the group and all its divisions and geographies. In the second quarter, which has been somewhat more complex than the previous quarter, and the most relevant aspects we're going to now review. We start by reminding ourselves of the specific impact of the pandemic, which in the second quarter has been more virulent in India and in Brazil. In the case of India, the impact has been biggest in May, month in which the sector was forced to carry out major outages and production adjustments. Fortunately, the situation has improved during the months of June and July, with daily infection cases under 50,000 at the present time, much lower than the 400,000 cases in May. In the case of Brazil, the country is in the midst of a new wave and is currently the third country most affected by the pandemic. The uncoordinated response of its administrations and the low vaccination rate are not helping to overcome a situation that is also bringing about a lowering in the annual vehicle production estimates. And we'll now move on to the semiconductor effect. According to IHS estimates, as you'll know, the impact of semiconductors in the second quarter would have been around 2.6 million vehicles versus the 1.4 million that were not produced in the first quarter. The North American and European markets have been most affected, with almost 60% of this volume. In spite of the fact that there is still not full visibility, today it is expected that the semiconductor shortage in the second half of this year will be significantly less, with a third quarter that will still have an impact of almost 1 million vehicles, but with a fourth quarter that will have a more residual effect. In line with this optimistic forecast, we have recent news, such as the statements from the main world semiconductor manufacturer TSMC, who stated a few days ago that the supply of chips specifically for the automotive sector would improve substantially as of the third quarter. All the giga investment plans that have already started to be deployed in the United States, Europe, and Asia in order to stabilize and reinforce this part of the supply chain. In any case, and even though this effect may result in 2021 in the non-production of approximately 5 million vehicles, we have to remember that for the most part, it is not lost production, but production that has been delayed to subsequent quarters. And so the vehicle production estimates for the coming years include these volumes that will not be produced this year. And now we move on to the inventory effect. The impact of the pandemic and the shortage of semiconductors has put pressure on industry inventories and put further stress on the already low stock levels pre-existing on various markets. We have the case of Europe with inventories at around 65 days, pretty much in line with its historical average. China, that closed June with approximately 45 days of inventory versus a historical average of 75 days. And we also have the case of the United States, 25 days of inventory at the closing of June, compared with a historical average of 60 days. Some historically low levels that are implying long waiting times for many vehicle models. Also, in emerging markets in India and Brazil, we see a tight stock situation with levels of between 15 and 20 days. In general, it seems likely that inventories will stay at these levels or even lower during the rest of 2021 because of the temporary misalignment between supply and demand because of the impact of the pandemic and the semiconductors. And this is a clear and very positive driver for future growth in vehicle production, with the goal of bringing inventories back to normalized levels. And talking about the market, and in this context of pandemic, semiconductors, and inventories, vehicle production grew 49% in the second quarter compared to the second quarter of 2020, and have been almost 9% lower than the first quarter, with 18.8 million vehicles produced versus the 20.6 million in the first quarter. In this market, organic growth at a constant exchange rate at CIE has been 11.7% in the quarter, 117% in the quarter, which means a very significant outperformance with the rest of the market, helped in part by a geographic mix. The half a year overall shows a global growth of 29% versus 45% of organic growth at a constant exchange rate at CIE, which means an outperformance for the half year of 16 points, which has happened to varying degrees in all and each of our geographies. To have a fuller picture of the rebound in the market, we need to compare the volumes in 21 with the volumes in 2019. This comparison shows a second quarter that is 15% lower in volume compared to the second quarter of 2019, and 15% lower than the first half of 2019. In other words, that the current volumes have still a way to go before recovering the pre-COVID volumes, something that occurs in all markets where CIE is present, except for China, where productions have been higher than levels before the pandemic. Regarding the rest of the year, a strong second half is expected, with 42.6 million vehicles, 8% more than in the first half of the year, and with an especially strong fourth quarter. The annual forecast for 21 is a growth of 10%, up to 82 million vehicles. If we consider that the forecast for 2021 in January was 85 million vehicles, and that we've already mentioned that the semiconductor impact is estimated to have been about 5 million, this forecast of 82 million reflects that the underlying demand is stronger than was expected some months ago, and is acting as a partial positive counterweight to the impact of the chip shortage. In 2022, a growth is expected of close to 11%, up to 90.7 million vehicles, which will exceed the 89 million pre-COVID. And from there on, an annual compound growth rate of 5% in the period 2020-2025. During this period, emerging markets like Brazil and India will divert from mature markets like Europe and NAFTA and go to annual double-digit compound growth rates. As a result, these emerging markets will gain more specific weight in the industry, and this is very favorable for us in view of our strong position and our backing of these geographies. After looking at the context, we'll now talk about results and margins, operating margins that have again gone to that 18% EBITDA and 13% EBIT that represents a record level in the current CIE perimeter. Compared to the first quarter with similar margins, the EBITDA margin in India has been somewhat affected by the virulence of COVID during the second quarter, but it has been offset by other geographies like Europe and China, where we have seen a sequential expansion in margins. We would also highlight the EBITDA margin of CIE Europe in the second quarter, continuing at record levels of around 40%, thanks, among other things, to the restructuring carrying out in 2020. We believe that these margins are especially outstanding right now. Firstly, because they have been achieved in a complex and volatile environment, the one we've experienced in this second quarter. An environment that has meant constant changes in production planning and which have required our full operating flexibility. Secondly, because they have been achieved in the first half during which almost 6 million vehicles less than in the first half of 2019 have been produced. Thirdly, because we have reached a 12% EBIT over sales and a net income of 148 million euros in the half year, in spite of the negative impact of the exchange rate. These are margins that without a doubt prove that in the case of CIE, the main levers creating value are not just the operating leverage provided by volume, but rather it's in our hands and are derived from excellent management. And now we move on to cash flow, and we have to talk about the extremely high conversion rate of EBITDA into operating cash flow this first half of the year, which is even above our commitment of 65%, having reached at 67.5%. Some of the elements to be highlighted in the flow in the second half. A CapEx of less than 50 million euros in the quarter, close to 6% of sales, shared equally between maintenance and growth CapEx. An investment of 15 million euros in working capital in a quarter, which is usually a cash generator. An investment fundamentally linked to increasing stock, resulting from raw material prices, the additional hedging of our plants to avoid logistic tensions, and unexpected changes in production planning from our customers that have not enabled us to optimize our inventory levels as much as usual. But it's an investment that we foresee will be recovered in the second half of the year with dedication and management. And as usual at CIE, working capital will not be a significant item in the free cash flow at the end of the year. And the third element to be highlighted for the flow in the quarter, the buying of 0.6% of our subsidiary, CIE, making use of the opportunities provided by the market. So if we talk about free cash generation, we're saying that both the rapid recovery of our operating margins, as well as the strict control over our investments, has enabled us to reduce our debt level by almost 250 million euros in the last 12 months, turning the net financial debt to EBITDA ratio of 3.91 in June 2020 to 2.59 today. And all this while maintaining the payout to our shareholders with close to 130 million euros dedicated to dividends, buybacks of our shares and minority shares during the same 12-month period, where the operating cash flow has exceeded 370 million euros. And this is the strongest commitment of the company to continue to maintain our focus on cash generation. This generation, which in this half has enabled us to deleverage while we grow organically, and in the future will allow us to also grow inorganically. Meanwhile, during the first half and as of July the 1st, we have renewed our structural financing, negotiated new covenants, and extended the maturity of certain liabilities. So once again, we have approved the group's financing conditions. So we come to an end after reviewing a second quarter, which, as you will have seen, shows that we have taken a further step along the path towards fulfilling our 2021 guidance, a guidance that we reaffirm today. Once again, sales at a constant exchange rate, beating the market by a single medium to high digit, margins a bit over 17.5%, operating cash generation around 65% of the EBITDA, and net financial debt between 2.3 and 2.4 times at the end of the year. And that's all. And from now, we'll move on to your questions. Thank you all very much for your time. Let's go to the first question related to sales, and specifically the outperformance seen in NAFTA. Is there any specific explanation as to the reason? Well, good afternoon, everyone, first of all. It's true But we've said over and over again that NAFTA is a market where our position both in Mexico and the United States is very strong. A market where in the electric car we're growing enormously. And that's the reason for that important increase in market share we've had during this first 6 months. A question or a couple of questions on margins. The first is any explanation on the EBITDA margin in the second quarter being the same as in the first quarter when there's been less volume on the market? Is it a matter of names, prices, raw materials? No. It's a matter that CIE improves its margins quarter by quarter. And it's true that this quarter we produce 6 or 7% less, but we are continuously improving margins. And that's why we've been able to use that same 18% that in the first quarter. If volumes had been the same as in the first quarter, we have ended up at 18.2 to give a figure. So it's just the continuous improvement we carry out in all our plants worldwide. Any explanation for the MCIE margins in the second quarter? Is there a one-off that explains it? No, the same as I've just said, there are no one-offs. There is a significant substantial improvement both in MCIE Europe, and the truck world is doing better than we envisaged, and our results even in Germany are being better. And then India, which, as we've said very often, is step by step increasing its margins and is close to 15% EBITDA with a goal of reaching 20% in the coming quarters or years. So it's just normal, the logical evolution. The countries that are worse off in margins have planned to increase margins significantly for the coming years. You'll remember the Capital Market Day when we gave an EBITDA goal of 19%, and that goal is being fulfilled because these markets like MCIE, both in Europe and in India, are evolving positively over the years. Can you tell us about the working capital in the first half and forecasts for the rest of the year? Well, I think Lorea mentioned it perfectly clearly. In the first half, the working capital, well, it's a first half where the effort we made is enormous, that's true. And as Lorea said, there's an increase in raw materials that in order to not hurt ourselves, we've increased the stocks at our companies. But this is going to be recovered over the next two quarters so that the working capital variation will be zero or positive at the end of the year. We asked whether doesn't it seem a bit conservative, the goal of 17.5% EBITDA in 2021? Well, it's true that after seeing 18%, it may look conservative. But, well, first of all, you know we are conservative. The company is from Bilbao, but it's managed by somebody from Guipúzcoa, me. And I'm conservative because I like to fulfill what we say we're going to do. And we didn't think it was significant to provide a little improvement in the guidance. But without a doubt, we're going to fight for it. And as Lordea said, not only are we going to fulfill it, but we're going to improve on most of the guidance. But we'll see this at the end of the year. It's not a compromise. No, you know, I always answer very calmly. Regarding the minority stakes, we've bought shares from Mahindra CIE. How far are we willing to go? And has there been anything exceptional in Q2 in relation to minority stakeholders? Go ahead, Lorea. The point with minority shareholders in the second quarter, where you perhaps saw an unexpected amount, has to do with a legislative change that has taken place in India. A legislative change that has been accounted for in the second quarter. And that's the loss in deductibility of one of the goodwills we had there, the Bilfinger goodwill. So there has been a one-off, which is purely accountancy. It's a one-off that represents an additional expense that we also saw on the corporate tax side that has its effect on minority stakeholdings, and which has to loss with the loss of that deductibility that we had remaining in the goodwill. But it's just an accounting item, an expense in the P&L. It has no effect on cash. This is the most important thing. And this is another reason why our net income has been penalized in this area. And even so, it's as good as it is. And regarding Mahindra CIE and the shares that have been bought, we had the opportunity, a shareholder called us and asked us if we wanted a block of shares. And it really was a good price. So we used that good opportunity. And you know that the Mahindra CIE structure is already relatively stable. We have a significant percentage of the company. Mahindra has another percentage, 11%. But between the two of us, we're over 70%. So there's limited room there to continue buying from the market. Can you talk to us about the effect of inflation on the business, the inflation in raw materials, and in the recovery of the working capital? Well, the raw materials issue, as you know, is a pass-through directly to customers. So the increases that are being passed through 100% to the customers. So we see, you know, loss there absolutely in our margins. Well, there are no further questions. So that's been all. I'll hand over to Lorea. Well, okay, Jesús María, we put an end to this conference call then. Thank you for your time. We know it's a complicated day with a lot of results being published. We're at your disposal for any further questions, and we hope that we've been able to answer and clarify all your questions. Thank you all very much. Thank you all very much. And as we always say, we're all part of this project, so we should all feel proud of our contribution to this great project. Thank you very much.